while there may have been times over the years where individual threats could have been higher here or there than where they might be right now, I've never seen a time where all the threats, or so many of the threats, are all elevated all at exactly the same time. That's what makes this environment that we're in now so fraught, and why funding our men and women who are working shoulder to shoulder with state and local law enforcement and other partners every day makes it even more important, not less.
So blinking red lights analogy about 9/11, all the lights were blinking red before 9/11. Apparently, obviously, all of us missed it. Would you say that there's multiple blinking red lights out there?
I see blinking lights everywhere I turn.
How scary is that? It didn't get enough attention. Senator Lindsey Graham joins us now to change that. That was a couple of months ago. And now you look at the attacks in Iran and the attacks in Russia, and no, ISIS-K considers us the next victim and the primary focus. Senator Lindsey Graham joins us now. Senator, welcome back. Your thoughts about that exchange?
Well, this was almost a couple of months ago. We're not acting on the information being provided. The Biden administration's military budget is pathetic. This budget deal was bad. The Navy is going to go down in ships at a time that China is getting bolder. Our ability to detect and disrupt operations in Afghanistan after our withdrawal doesn't exist. When Joe Biden said, President Biden said, we would have over-the-horizon capability to disrupt operations in Afghanistan and protect our homeland, that's proven not to be correct. This past weekend, General McKenzie said that the attacks in Moscow foreshadow what's coming here. He believes an attack on the homeland from ISIS-K is almost inevitable. And we're not doing anything. We're not trying to generate capability to hit ISIS-K in Afghanistan before they hit us. We're just sitting around and watch millions of people flow into the country unchecked. You check into an app, that's all you have to do. You could lie your way into the system very easily or just literally walk across the border. So I've never been more worried about another 9/11 than I am right now.
You know why? Because, Senator, you used to have a lot of people understand the threat after 9/11 and then Iraq and then ISIS comes out of nowhere. We all were on the same page. We have gotten complacent because, thankfully, we have not been hit by a terror attack. We're all happy about that. And then we see our enemies get hit and we think, okay, that's nothing to do with us. But we actually tipped off Iran and Russia. Does that show you that maybe we're on top of things?
Yeah, I think our capability needs to be enhanced. The intelligence community doing a good job with what they have. They actually gave information to Russia very specific about the nature of the attack, and Russia basically ignored it. So, yeah, you do get complacent. People get war-weary. You know, 19, 20 years after World War One, we have World War Two. About 20 years after 9/11, we withdrew from Afghanistan. And the rest is history. ISIS-K and al-Qaeda are coming back there and other places. So what I worry about is that the ability that President Biden described to deal with terrorism in Afghanistan over the horizon, not on the ground there, doesn't exist. And they're getting stronger all over the region. They're coming back on the border of Iraq and Syria. And we have 900 troops in Syria, a few thousand in Iraq. But President Biden and, quite frankly, the Congress, we're not upping our game given the threat we face.
So this is not going to make you feel better, but it's important for somebody like General Frank McKenzie, who was part of the evacuation, the disastrous evacuation of Afghanistan. We'll talk about that again, but here he is. Cut 35.
Well, I think we have enough in Iraq and in Syria to conduct operations against ISIS, the remnants of ISIS in the Euphrates River Valley and in eastern Syria. And, of course, Martha, you also remember our SDF partners, our partners there are sitting on top of a prison system with approximately 10,000 ISIS fighters that are incarcerated in it. If that prison system were to open up, would let forth on the world a whole new chapter of ISIS violence. So that's very important to us. On the other hand, in Afghanistan, we have almost no ability to see into that country and almost no ability to strike into that country. And so ISIS there is able to grow unabated. There's no pressure on them.
So that doesn't make you feel better, but it's exactly your point.
Well, I've sent a letter to Senator McConnell and Schumer asking that the Senate be given a classified briefing about the nature of the threat, how real is it, how broken our border is and how it relates to terrorism, what capability do we have regarding Afghanistan, if any. And here's my point. You may be tired of finding them. They're not tired of finding you. When it comes to striking America by radical Islamists, that's the gold medal in the jihadist Olympics. You know, everything else is a silver or a bronze medal. Their number one goal is to hit us where we live. And General McKenzie's, you know, evaluation that we're sort of deaf, dumb, and blind in Afghanistan is true. And these guys are getting bolder, and our response is inadequate. So I would like to have an emergency meeting of the United States Senate where we're briefed about the nature of the threat and try to come up in real time with some response.
Yeah, their problem, I mean, they're also at war with the Taliban, correct?
Oh, yeah. ISIS and the Taliban, okay, there's three groups here. The Taliban, basically, you know, radical Islamists who want to control Afghanistan.
Teamed with Al-Qaeda.
A lot more. Yeah, yeah. That's the Taliban. Al-Qaeda is the long-range radical Islamists. They're the original tenet, but they're like the Rotary Club compared to ISIS. ISIS wants to establish the caliphate now and not wait around for things to change. So ISIS is, you know, ISIS are made up of people that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda kick out. They're too crazy for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. These people are nuts. And they will slaughter as many people as they can if they have the capability.
Right.
So I am trying to – Katie Britt, Senator Britt from Alabama, she's on top of this too. We're making a plea to the Senate leadership. Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss what's going on and react before it's too late.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I look forward to better answer your question. That's a non-political request that you have that has our national security. You know, my worry is everyone's come out and warned us already, and they could honestly say, I told you so. So it's really on us to take action or people in control to take action. So the FBI can honestly say, I told you seven times over the last 2 years that this was going to happen, but you left the border open and you're not tracking people that were on the FBI watch list. So it's insanity that you have to come on and go through the media to get people's attention. But I'm glad you're doing it. Senator, I gotta also ask you about the attack in Russia. They came from Tajikistan, correct?
Right,
and they came in because they were mobilized, and they pull off an epic kill for all the ugly reasons in a concert hall. We warned Russia ahead of time. They thought we were being smug, I guess, ignored it. We even told them the concert hall, and now he blames Ukraine. So is ISIS-K not getting the traction that they wanted?
Well, no, I think they made their point. They certainly made it to me. And, you know, this is just Russian propaganda. They were really well informed. Our intelligence service did the Russian people a great service, and Putin let his own people down. So what you see here, ISIS-K has got a foothold physically in Afghanistan. They're involved in almost every province now. But they're able to recruit from around the world for, you know, a few thousand bucks and get people to sign up and do almost anything. Remember when the caliphate was established in Iraq and Syria?
Yep.
Around Raqqa, Syria. They projected force. They attacked the concert hall in France. They killed thousands of people while they had a caliphate. The more organized they are, Brian, the more territory they control, the more money they have, the more dangerous they are. They took the oil revenue in Syria and funded their operations. So they're not back to that level, but they're growing. They're growing in Afghanistan, and they're recruiting throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And it only takes a handful of these guys willing to die themselves to wreak havoc. And again, with a broken border, how easy is it to get into our country? And I believe Mayorkas and all of these people in charge of our homeland, Director Ray could not. He did everything but take an ad out in the paper. They're going to hit us, and we're not doing much in response. So the Biden administration is just sitting there like with deer in headlights.
So a couple of things real quick on Ukraine aid. Do you believe from, I know it's a different chamber, but do you believe the Speaker Johnson's going to put something on the floor, a standalone bill, when he gets back?
Yeah, he's going to put something on the floor. And if you thought it was a bad idea to leave Afghanistan because the terrorists would come back and do what they're doing, giving Russia a victory in Ukraine after Ukraine has fought so hard would be even worse. So to those who criticize the withdrawal in Afghanistan, you're right. To those who believe we should just pull the plug on Ukraine, you're deadly wrong. China's watching. Putin will not stop. So here's what I think the speaker will do. He'll put an aid package, more weapons, let the Europeans deal with the economic problems that Ukraine have. We'll do more weapons. It'll be a loan like President Trump suggested. You know, Ukraine has about $6 to $12 trillion of critical minerals underneath its land. That's one reason Russia invaded. Over the arc of time, they may be able to pay us back, but it'd be a no-interest, forgivable loan, but we need to change the way we do business here. And we're going to go after frozen Russian assets all over the world to help pay for this war. So, and some border security. So I think Speaker Johnson's rising to the occasion. And people who just say, you missed all of World War II. How could any reasonable person expect the world to be safer if we give Putin what he wants by force of arms? How does any reasonable person believe he'll stop in Ukraine when he says he'll keep going? How can you not connect what China would do with what we're doing in Ukraine? It's just insanity, right, in my view. It's an ostrich approach to the world. The world is connected for good and bad.
And this is, you know, I agree with you. But I'm going to, this is with the critics have a legitimate point when they talk about the slow walking of weapons and the lack of being able to express what the objective is and express to the American people, give them the respect they deserve to talk about the objective. And now when you see Secretary of State Blinken criticizing Ukraine for blowing up a Russian oil field because it was in Russia, that's the frustration, Senator.
Well, let's lay out, you know, this is radio. It makes you think. Well, let's think a little bit. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to maintain the territorial integrity of Ukraine, because if we don't, then we're going to have more war on the continent of Europe. The last time somebody tried to take another country by force of arms was Adolf Hitler. They speak German. They really want to be with us. Well, you know what? Crimea is a debated area, but Crimea was part of Ukraine when they gave up their 1,700 nuclear weapons in the 90s. So what Putin's done is destroying world order. He will not stop. So we should have given them the tanks earlier. We should give them a long-range artillery to knock the bridge down between Crimea and Russia. We should have trained them on the F-16s last year. You're dead right. They need more capability. The Biden administration has been slow walking. It's like they don't want to lose, but they don't want to win.
I know.
What is winning? Winning is continuing to degrade the Russian forces inside of Ukraine, get close to Crimea militarily, and get a sue for peace on favorable terms,
yes,
where Ukraine becomes part of NATO, part of the European Union, and there'll be no third invasion. That's possible with the right weapons.
And I'll tell you, I'm going to end this with the way I would Admiral Stavridis today. Every Republican I talk to speaks in glowing terms of Ronald Reagan. Everyone. The most extreme right and the most moderate right. And would Ronald Reagan give Ukraine the weapons they need? And I know the answer. What do you think the answer is?
It's a resounding yes, but let's talk about what maybe Trump and Reagan had in common. Do you believe they would have invaded on Reagan's watch? I don't think they would have invaded on Trump's watch. It went back to Afghanistan.
Weakness.
They saw
weakness
in Afghanistan. And the rest is history.
And China sees weakness if we stop. And this will be on a lot. We'll have to, this will be the Republican
radio
version of Afghanistan. Well, I like that. Senator, it's great talking to you. We need 2 hours.
All right, buddy.
And I'll work on that.
See you soon.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.